You record it?
Yeah.
You put it anywhere?
I put it on gemara.org. I hope so. Okay, we're holding Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph about one third of the way down the Amud. The Gemara has been discussing the question of whether you can have one aid give aider. We know you can have one aid give aiders that a woman's husband has died so she can remarry.
Right.
The question is over here, because they're so that's the thing. The Gemara discussed yesterday the question, is it because we say that milsa davidala glui, people are not going to lie about, and here it's milsa davidala glui, if the guy shows up alive, then everybody knows that he's a liar? Or is it because isha daiko minsuba? Is it because the Chachamim knew that when a woman is told that her husband is dead, she's not going to rush off to marry again, she's going to check it out carefully to make sure that it really is true, because she knows if her husband
is,
and therefore one aid's enough. So the Gemara discussed that yesterday. So now the question is, how does that apply as far as allowing her to be nisyabim? Do we say the same thing, that one aid is good enough? Or maybe not. Maybe my yibum was different, because the Gemara said yesterday that there's the possibility either that she might rush to do yibum because she likes her yavam and she wants to get married to him, and therefore she won't be medayik. Or if I care, it might be that she'll rush into, if it's a case where the aid is coming and saying that she's not chayiv in yibum, that she had a child, that her child died after her husband or whatever, that she might rush to go ahead with that because she hates her yavam and wants to be rid of him. So, Amalei Rav Mordechai Ravashi, Va'amri Lo Rav Acha Lo Ravashi, Tashma, a braisa says that towards the end of the Masechta, Eina Isha Ne'emenes Lo Yomeis Yavami, we do not believe a woman to say that my yavam has died, she'en, I'll say that she should be allowed to then go and marry somebody else. Or v'loy meisa achosi, we also don't believe her to say that my sister died, she'akonis levesa, that I should enter her house, and that I should be allowed to marry her husband. We know the Torah says a person is not allowed to marry a sister who is married to is alive. So we don't believe. So we do believe in order to prevent igun, we believe one aid to allow her to marry Michal. But here it's not a matter of igun, because here it's a matter of shen. I'll say okay, you know, it's not a matter of igun for her to say to marry Michal. Yeah, but not to say that her yavam is dead and therefore she should be allowed to marry Lashuk. And similarly, we don't believe her to say that her sister is dead, because there also it's not a matter of igun; she can marry somebody else. So what do we see from that? She herself, we don't believe, which implies that one aid we would. So what, according to your logic, ain't a safer? Look at the next part of the braisa. We do not believe a man to say, my brother has died, in order that he should be allowed to do yibum with his wife. Same idea, it's not a matter of igun, because he could just marry somebody else. Or we also don't believe him to say, my wife died, and allow him to marry her sister on that basis. Again, you're going to say, who knew? What, again, are you going to say that it means that we don't believe him, but we do believe one aid? Can't be. By a woman, because it's to prevent igun, that you allow one aid. By a man, there's no issue of igun. Before Chayav Ben Gershon, he's allowed to marry a second wife anyway. It is interesting, actually. The Pischa Tshuva discusses. The Pischa Tshuva brings a whole bunch of Tshuvas from various Achronim. Nowadays, if there's Chayim Dirabin Gershom, do we apply the same rule? No. First of all, it wasn't for 1,000 years. It was till the end of Elif HaChemishin. Second of all, Rabbi Natan renewed it for all time. Anyway.
So he brings
the Shaila, does the same thing apply now to a man? Do we believe him? Different posts can take different views. I think he brings from the Noda Yehuda, who says that yes, we will allow on the basis of Eidechad, because otherwise it's a matter of Igun for him, because he's not going to be allowed to marry. But we're not going to allow Apiatma. Unlike in the case of a woman where we believe Apiatma. So anyway, Elagabi Ishmael Iklamemar. So by man, you can't say Lachor to the same thing. Before Chen Deben Gershom, there's no issue of Igun. There's no reason to say that one aid should be believed either. So obviously, you can't say that the Braisa means we don't believe him, but we do believe one aid. So the same way, you can't make that deal there. The same way, you can't make the deal for the woman. Ella ki itzrich l'rabba kibbe itzrich. But no, rather when we say that when the Braitha seems to be implying that by that we don't believe the Isha, but we do believe, but it sounds like we believe one aid. No, it's not coming to say that we believe one aid. It's telling us why does the Braitha need to tell us that we believe that we don't believe her to say Meisi Vomi or Meisa Achosi is l'rabba kibbe itzrich. We only need to point to Rabba Kibbe. Because you might think to say, since Rabbi Akiva holds, as we said before, that you have a mamzer even from Chayvi Lavin, so if a Yavama marries Lashuk without doing Chalitza, then there's going to be a mamzerim from it. Ema Chaysha al Kilkula, the Daika, so you might think that she would be Choshish for the Kilkul. So Rashi brings two explanations. One is that we take up the word Dezara, that she'll be concerned about her own kilkul. That she's going to be concerned forget about the kids. We're saying forget about the kids. In other words, we're saying the beginning of the parak had talked about all kinds of issues that you have if a woman was an Ashes ish, and then one aid comes and says that her husband died, she remarries, and then it turns out her husband is alive. There's all kinds of penalties that we apply to her. So you might have thought, in this case, it's not, so a matter of Eishas Ish, we apply that because it's an Isser, because it's a Chiyuv Misa, and she becomes also to her husband. Since Rabbi Akiva is saying over here, Yesh Mamzim Chayv Yilavin, and therefore Yuvam Lashuk is also such a serious thing, you would think that she would be concerned about the Kilkul for herself, that all these penalties are going to apply to her as well. Kamash Malan, that we don't say that she might be worried about that, and therefore we can't allow her, therefore unlike with Mes Bailey, where we allow her to say, my husband died, because she's concerned about the kilkul, he or she may not be as concerned about it. Then Rashi brings another explanation, which has the word dezara and the part here in parenthesis, akukula dezara v'dayfa kamash melanda akukula didoch haisha akukula dezara lechaisha. Rashi's second explanation is that what it means is we're saying that she may not be concerned about the kilkul of herself. We might think that she's concerned enough that according to Rabbi Akiva, her children will be mamzerim, if she's a yavam l'shuk, that her children are going to end up being mamzerim, and therefore she'll be more careful. She's not going to just say mes yavami without knowing for sure that it's so. And the chiddush is that no, we're not. Whether we say that she might be concerned about the penalties for herself, but she might not be worried about mamzerus of her children. Now she has a couple of problems with that explanation, though. So he prefers the first explanation that we're talking about that according to Rabbi Akiva, we'd apply all the penalties that we said, not just to the kids, but to her herself, that she becomes also to both to the Yavam as well as to her as well as to her new husband, and she loses her ksuba, and all these various things that we said. So that would be why the Braith asked to tell us that we don't believe her to say Messi Wami. Not to imply that we believe Eidechad, but to imply that we would have thought that we should believe her, and the Chiddush is that we don't believe her. Rava Amar, Eidechad Nemen Bivam Makavachimer. Rava says, on the other hand, you could argue that you should believe one aid when it comes to a Yavama to allow her to do Yibum by a Kavachimer. You're allowing one aid for an Eishas Ish, which is an Issa Kares, or even Mrs. Bastin. More so for something which is only an Issulav. You should allow one aid. However, one of the Rabbanon says to Rava, that's not a proof. He asked Matechia. You can disprove it from the case of the woman herself. You see that when the woman herself says Eidus, the bride said, clearly said, that if she's saying that I myself know that my husband is dead, we allow her to remarry. But if she says my yavam died, we don't allow her to marry out Lashuk. So you see that the kavachaimer that you tried to make is itself schlugged up from that very case. The L.E. my time alay mehem. That's a taka, why don't we believe her? In the case of Yibum, the kibit and the zimd and the sanyalay, because like we said before, sometimes she hates her yavam. Loy daiko minseva. So therefore, she might not be careful enough to check out that the yavam is really dead. She wants to be free of him no matter what, so she'll go based on a rumor or something that he's dead without checking it out thoroughly. Similarly, Eidechad Nami, Dekivin, Dezimni, Desanyalei, again, it may have maybe the same problem, even with one aid. She hates the Yavam, so she, Loidaiko Mitzvah, she may not check out to make sure that this one aid is telling the truth. So the logic would be, therefore, that Adonai, we should not believe one aid. Now, the Rif says, though, even though the Gemara has slugged up both of these proofs, proofs of Rav Sheshet's and of Rabbah. Nevertheless, the halacha is like that, the Rif says, and the Rambam Baskin like that. That you do believe that 1/8 is believed to allow by Yivama to allow her to marry out Lashuk. There are other Rishonim.
Just like a regular Aguna case,
exactly. Not all the Rishonim agree with that, though, but that's how the Rif and the Rambam hold. And that's what's brought in Shulchan Aruch. And the Mishnah death that in the case where the woman was only the Skadish to the second husband, and then her first husband showed up, the Mishnah had said on Tzadik Bey that the second husband does not have to give her a get, and even if he does, he doesn't pass lo min akorda. Why? Because the pasuk says v'isha grusha me'isha. Only a woman who's divorced from somebody who's her husband is also a korna. Here he's not her husband. So yeah. The truth is, Rav Elazar could have darshened a pearl, meaning a real chiddush from this pasuk. But darshed mechaspa, and instead he darshened in like a piece of earthenware, like a drasha which is not just a chiddush. What's my maganisa? What would have been the great chiddush he could have gotten out of the same pasuk? The Tanya, as it says in the Braisa, when it says ve'isha grusha me'isha, afilo lo nis kasha ela me'isha psula l'korna. You can have a case where a woman is only divorced from her husband, and yet she's pasul l'korna. What happens, for example, the get is supposed to be krisis. The get completely cuts off the relationship between the husband and wife, between the husband and wife. Thank you. Hello. What happens if he gives her a get and he says, "I'm giving you this get. You're divorced from me, but you're not mutter l'chol adam." You're not mutter l'chol adam. Normally, a get says, "Hareyat mutteres l'chol adam." You're allowed to marry anybody you want. What if he makes a tnai on it that says, "You're only divorced from me, but you're also to marry anybody else"? We touched on this before. This is it's a possible get, but it's called behind you reyach haget, the place of a korban. This is called reyach haget, the smell of a get, and it's still possible in that corner. Why? Because the pasuk says, "V'isha grusha me'isha." She's only grusha me'isha. She's only divorced from her husband. Because he said hareyat mugudesh. But she's not megurash. But it's only meisha. She based on the tnai, you would think she's also tnai. But really, she's not divorced from her husband either, because it's possible again. But it's enough to pass alone in a kahuna. That's what we're saying. Meisha grusha meisha. So this that Rabbi Elazar ben Masi had said in the Mishnah, the isha grusha meisha, teaches us if he's not her husband, then it's not then it doesn't pass alone in a kahuna. We're saying that's chaspa. That's not much of a chiddush. Of course, he's not her husband, so the get doesn't pass alone. The bigger chiddush is this idea that even something which is possible to get, but because it's meisha. Because it comes from her husband, therefore it's not possible in a corner.
You'd have to give her a real get
to be mad to her, yeah. But already...
And other half, she wouldn't be
mobilized
to live with them
all. No, so the point is, what happens if at that point he dies, we're saying she's already possible in a corner. Mishnah says, Misha hocha ishto l'medina sayam, somebody whose wife went overseas, but this is the opposite of the previous case. Yeah, they come and tell him your wife died. So he married her sister, which he thought he would be allowed to do if his wife was dead. And then his wife showed up. He was married
to Rachel.
Right. Rachel went overseas. They came and told him that Rachel's dead.
He's
allowed to marry his sister. Yeah,
he's allowed to marry his sister.
The Torah says that after a man's wife is dead, he's allowed to marry her sister. Yes. So he marries his sister. Then his wife shows up. Mutaras lachzor. His wife is mutar to return to him. We don't say that his wife becomes aser because effectively he was mizana with her sister. The Gemara is going to learn by a pasuk that it doesn't passel his wife. Mutter b'kroivet shnia, he is mutter to marry any of the relatives of the second woman. For example, later on he can marry her daughter. So if we have the case over here, he was married to Leah. He thought that Leah died. He married Rachel. He had children for her. The children we'll talk about in a minute. The point is that we're saying that because he was never legally married to Rachel, because it turned out it was only his nus. Therefore, he would be allowed to marry Rachel's children. He's also to Rachel herself, because she's a chayis ishtei, but he's mutter to marry her daughter, for example.
He can marry his own daughter.
Not his own daughter. Not his own daughter from Rachel. If Rachel had a daughter from another man, from another husband, then he would be allowed to marry her because even though he was at one time Mizana with her mother, that doesn't make the daughter also to him. We'll learn about that in the next paragraph. Ushniya Mutaras Bekroiva, but conversely, the second woman, Rachel, is allowed to marry his relative. Same idea. The truth is, the Bach talks about the idea that this is only when would he be mutter to marry Rachel's relatives only after Rachel herself is dead, not while she's still alive. No, the Acharonim discussed that issue. The Immesa Rishona, and if the first one dies, if Leah, the one who was originally married to Taka, dies, then Mutzah B'Shniyah, then he's allowed to marry Leah, he's allowed to marry Rachel. Because at that point, yes, his wife is dead, he's allowed to marry her sister. Again, we don't say because he was Mizana with her before, therefore she becomes also to him. No, she's Mutzah. How about another case? Amru Leah Mesa Ishta, if they tell him your wife died, V'Nasa Asa Chaysa, and he married her sister, V'Achakach Amru Leah Kayemes Chaysa Umesa, then they come and tell him that after all she was living all that time, but then later on she died. So they tell him when you married her sister, she was still alive. Now she's taka dead. So he's allowed to stay married to her, but havlad rishon mamzer v'achron ein mamzer. So the first child, any children who were born while the original wife was alive, mamzerim, because achos ishtoi is an itzakaris. And an itzakaris makes mamzerim. It's similar to the first case, but the first case is the wife actually came back. So then obviously any children that he had with Rachel are going to be mamzerim. In this scenario over here, if Reuben and Shimon were born before Leah showed up, then yes, they're both going to be mamzerim.
You were talking in the first case.
Yes, in the first case. In the second case, we're talking about Reuben was born while Leah was still alive, and Shimon was born after Leah actually died. So then Reuben is a mamzer, Shimon is not. Because Shimon was born after he's already allowed to be married to this woman. Rabbi Yosi,
did he get remarried or not?
The Pashto, he might have to, but yeah, he would have to, because when he married her, he wasn't a marriage, yeah. Rabbi Yossi, no, kol shepoisel aideh, chodem poisel aideh, any case where it passels somebody else and also passels for himself, v'chol she'en poisel aideh, chodem any poisel aideh, any case where it does not passel a woman for somebody else, then it doesn't passel for him himself either. The Gemara is going to explain later on, we'll learn probably tomorrow, what exactly Rabbi Yossi means, but basically Rabbi Yossi is talking about a case. All this time we've been talking about a case we assumed that Rachel herself was not married. So Avraham here was married to Leah. He thought Leah died and he married Rachel. How about, though, you can have a case, which the Gemara is going to talk about. What about if Rachel herself was married and they thought that Rachel's husband had died? And Avraham went and married Rachel. So now when her husband shows back up, Then she taka also to her husband, because we said at the beginning of the parak that she Rachel herself is in the situation of the woman at the beginning of the parak who thought her husband was dead and married somebody else, and it turns out he's alive. So Rabbi Yossi is saying because she's also therefore also she becomes also to Avraham as well. Well, again, the Gemara will talk about in detail tomorrow what exactly is the scenario Rabbi Yossi is talking about.
His wife or the
son? No, we're talking about the second woman. The Tanakhama was saying once Leah is dead, then Avraham is allowed to marry Rachel because it's his wife's sister and his wife is dead now. Rabbi Yossi is saying no. If you have a case where Rachel is also to her husband,
when Leah didn't come back,
forget about whether Leah came back or not. If there's a case where Rachel is also to her husband, namely her husband was also overseas and she thought he was dead and then it turned out he's alive, then she's also to Avraham. We don't say that she should be mutter to Avraham because it's his wife, it's his dead wife's sister. No, once she's also to her husband, she also becomes also to him. Yeah, again, we'll get into that more tomorrow. So actually, we'll get into some of it now. The Gemara says, "V'afagav da ozel ishtei v'gitzi l'mginas hayan," even if his wife and his brother-in-law went overseas. So let's change the scenario a little bit. We were talking until now that we had just the one man Avraham. Now let's assume, and two sisters. Now let's talk about two sisters were married to two different men, otherwise unrelated, that's why they're different colors. But suppose that both Rachel and Yitzchak went overseas, and what happens is that they come back and tell him, they come back, they, people, one aide comes and says that both Rachel and Yitzchak are dead. So Avraham and Leah figure, in that case, we can get married. Neither of us has a spouse anymore. We can get married. Then it turns out that both spouses show up. Where we're saying that the ahani hanin disurim, the komitzura eshes gisei agisei, where we're saying, as it said at the beginning of the parak, that Rachel, that Leah becomes also to her husband Yitzchak, because she's in the situation of a woman who thought her husband was dead and remarried, and it turned out her husband is alive. Nevertheless, afilo hachi eshes gisei asira ishte sharia. Nevertheless, though, only Leah becomes also to Yitzchak, but Rachel does not become also to Avraham. Avraham's original wife, Rachel, does not become also to him. We don't say that since Leah becomes also to Yitzchak, Avraham's brother-in-law, therefore by the same logic, Rachel should be also to Avraham. No, we say those are two different things. Leah becomes also to Yitzchak because effectively she was mezaneh while she was married to Yitzchak, because she thought Yitzchak is dead and married Avraham, and it turns out that not. But Rachel does not become also even though he was with Leah, her sister. As I was going to say later, the fact that he was mezaneh with her sister doesn't aser her. Should we say that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva's Shitta? Not the same Shitta of Rabbi Akiva that we've been talking about all this time as far as Chai V'Lavin and Mamzerim and all. This is a different thing that Rabbi Akiva says. According to Rabbi Akiva, Rachel, Avraham's original wife, would be considered the wife of his Grusha. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, as the Gemara is going to say now, it sounds like he has to give Leah a get. Titania, kol arayas shabatora ein tzrichas himenu get. Any case where a man and a woman who are arayas to each other have relations, they don't need a get because it's just nus. Chutz me'eshes ach shenisus api based. Chutz me'eshes ish shenisus api based. Except for an eshes ish that was married by permission of based in, because as we said at the beginning of the parak, we make a gzera because we don't want people to think that the second marriage really was a legal one and then she's leaving it without a get. And Rabbi Akiva adds, also the case where you marry your brother's wife, where you think that you were supposed to do Yibum, and it turns out you weren't supposed to, that she had a child, or Achos Isha, where you married your wife's sister, and which is the case of our Mishnah. And the Kivin to Amr Rabbi Akiva Boya Get, so in that case, if Rabbi Akiva is saying that you need to give a get to the sister, you need to give a get to Leah, then it comes out automatically. Rachel, because Rachel is the sister of your grusha, and the sister of your grusha is also minatara. So how are you allowed to stay married to Rachel if our Mishnah says you are? Obviously, our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara answers back, no. The law of itzman Allah, because don't you know the explanation that they said about it? Amr of Gidol, Amr of Chiba, Yosef, Amr Rav. Hi, Eshes Och, Hechi Domi. What case are we talking about of Eshes Och? We're not just talking about a regular case where they were married and then they thought that he died and didn't leave any children. The case is that his brother was only Makadish, a woman, and then he went overseas, and they heard a rumor, they heard one aid or whatever, that the brother died, and then the brother who stayed back at home goes and marries his wife, which, as we said the other day, people are going to think that there was just a t'nai in the kedushin, and so he was legally able to marry her. That the t'nai never took place, and therefore the kedushin were not chal. High shaper nasiv, and therefore he was correctly able to marry her. So if at that point you divorce her without a get, then people are going to think that it's a real ashes ish, that you divorced her without a get. But if your brother was actually fully married to her, and then went Lamedina Sayyam and so forth, and you wound up doing Yibum with her, then everybody knows that then everybody knows there's no such thing as Nisuin Al Tanai. No, nobody does Nisuin Al Tanai. So obviously, therefore, people are going to realize that it was all a mistake, and therefore there's no reason to give a get. So why is Rabbi Akiva saying Eishes Och? You need a get. He's talking in a case where there was only kedushin, where the original brother had only done kedushin with her. Similarly, v'haya chois isha nami hechidami. Similarly, when we're talking about the case of a chois isha, kerin shekiddush is isha, a guy with makadosh a woman, v'hochel medinas yam, and she went overseas, v'shama shemesa, and they heard a rumor that she died. Omad v'nasa as a chaisa, so the brother went, the husband went and married her sister, which again, da'amri itchi, people are going to think that it was a legal marriage. Hach kamaisa t'na ha'vilev kiddushin, people are going to think that the original kiddushin was based only on the t'nai, and the t'nai never took place. But ha'a shtapri nasi, what? Could have been any kind of t'nai. Could have been a t'nai that could have been a t'nai al manas shani koyin. Rashi mentioned the other day, could have been a t'nai, on condition that I'm a tzaddik, that I'm a nasha, whatever, all the different kinds of t'nai that you could have. People are going to think there was a t'nai, v'ha shapir nasiv, and he was legally married to the sister. Then when it turns out that he divorces her without, that he separates from her without a get, people are going to think you don't need a get. But again, in the case where he was fully married to the first wife, everybody knows there's no such thing as nisuin al t'nai. So everybody's going to know automatically that the fact that he married the sister was a mistake, and he didn't realize that his wife was dead. So even Rabbi Akiva would agree in that case, you don't have to give a get. So therefore, we don't have to say that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva. We could say that our Mishnah is, we could say that because our Mishnah is talking about he was fully married to Leah originally. Then she went overseas. He thought she was dead. So he married Rachel. Now we're saying he does not have to give a get to Rachel because everybody knows that it was a mistake. And therefore Leah, his original wife, is not going to be a chois k'rushasa. It's not going to be the sister of his grusha. So she'll remain mutter to him. Ella. So that's all the case when it's only kedushin. Ella nisuri nik lamem a tshna havelay b'nisurin. When it comes to nisurin, you can't say there's a tshna. You can't make a tshna in nisurin. So that's the thing. Exactly. Our Mishnah could go according to Rabbi Akiva because in a case of nisurin, even Rabbi Akiva agrees you don't have to give a get to the one you mistakenly married. Right. Tosfos talks about the idea. I mean, on the face of it, it's not really a matter of tnai and nisuin or not. It's a matter of it's not normal to be mevatel the nisuin. Once you do bia, you don't want that you're going to be lost a bia lasnus. So you're going to make sure that the nisuin are going to be valid. And therefore, people are not going to say that you just did it, you weren't sure what you're doing or whatever. People are going to realize you were really fully married and the fact that later on you married the second woman was only a mistake. Okay. So that settles that. We can say that our Mishnah is indeed according to Rabbi Akiva. Now, Amalei Rabbi Ashi Rav Kahana, I Rabbi Akiva, if you're going to say that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva, listening to Amicham Marisai, then our Mishnah should mention a third possible case. Then our Mishnah should mention another possible case where you have a woman was also to you originally, and then she becomes mutter after your wife died, namely your mother-in-law. Now the Torah says that if a man marries his mother-in-law, then they're both chayiv sreifa, as we're going to quote the pasuk in a minute. But Rabbi Akiva holds that after his wife dies, there's no issur sreifa with Chamoisa. And the Gemara is assuming at this point, not only does not an Issa Strefa, the Gemara is assuming at this point she actually becomes mutter to her former son-in-law, according to Rabbi Akiva. If the daughter dies. Right. Yeah. Titania, the Pasuk says that if a man marries a woman and her mother, the Pasuk says, Ba'ish Yisrufu Oisai V'es Hem, they should burn in fire him and them. Now, the problem with saying them is, what do you mean them? No, them on the face of it means both women, but the question is, the first woman he married, Beheter, why should she be Chayim Misa? So he married Dina and her mother, Leah. So Leah, we understand, is Chayim Misa. Why should Dina be Chayim Misa when he married her, it was legal? So it means, Oisev es achas mehen, dear Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel says, you're right, it means him and one of them. Him, the husband, and one of them, meaning the second one that he married. The Gemara explains in Sanhedrin that actually Rabbi Shmuel gets that by darshaning the word the es hen. He breaks it up into two words. In Greek, the word hen means one. There's a couple words in English that derive from that. So he darshans it. The es hen means and one of them. Which one? Obviously, the second one. Yeah. But Rabbi Akiva Omer, no, Oitzeveshtayim. It means him and both them. Now, what do we mean exactly? Now, what do, obviously, Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold that both women are Chayim Misa. So the Gemara explains there in Sanhedrin, that the Gemara explains in the Sugya in Sanhedrin, that there was a machloikis, what Rabbi Akiva means. So one way of looking at it is Abaya, that it's not an actual machlokes. Both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva agree that only the second woman is Chayim Misa. Just the question, how exactly you understand the pasuk. Rabbi Akiva holds that you know when would be a case when both of them are Chayiv Misa, if, for example, he married, let's say instead of two women, there were three women involved over here. He was married to Dinah. He went and married her mother, Leah, as well as Leah's mother, Adina, or whatever her name was.
Mother-in-law and
grandmother-in-law. That's when it would be Etzken. So both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel agree on the basic meaning of the pasuk, that only the ones you married Ba'averah are the ones who are Chayiv Misa. Just Rabbi Shmuel gets that by darshaning Eshen to mean one of them, and Rabbi Akiva says no. You can have a case where there's actually two women who are Chayiv Misa. So if we say that Rabbi Shmuel sava chod k'siv, Rabbi Akiva sava tarti k'siv, that Rabbi Shmuel holds the word Eshen means one of them, and Rabbi Akiva holds the two potential women who are Chayiv Misa shapir. Okay, then we understand. Rabbi Akiva is not making any distinction whether the wife is dead or not. Even if Dina, the original wife, is dead, Rabbi Akiva would still hold your offer, according to Abaya's understanding, that you're also to marry her mother Dina and her mother Leah, and you're also to marry her grandmother, her grandmother Rivka. So good. Even when the wife is dead. So Shapir, then we can understand why our Mishnah doesn't mention Chamoisei, because there's no case where Chamoisei is ever going to be mutter to you. Once you marry a woman, her mother is permanently also to you. But Rava has a different explanation over there, that the Nachamina between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva is, what if the original wife dies? Rabbi Shmuel is saying the Eshen, that it's only the second one who's Chayiv Misa, meaning it doesn't matter whether you're still married to Dina or whether you divorced her or she died or whatever. Whereas Rabbi Akiva would say that no, according to Rava's understanding, Rabbi Akiva would say, if Dina is alive, that's when you say that Leah and Rivka are Chayiv Misa, but if Dina dies, then they're not. That's what it means, Eshen. When the pasuk says both of them, it means doesn't mean both of them are Chayiv Misa, both Dina and her mother Leah. It means both of them have to be alive for the penalty to be applied. If Dina is dead, then there's no Misa.
Well,
one of them is dead. But right, for the husband or for the mother-in-law, right? There's no Chayiv Misa, right? So why doesn't our Mishnah also mention the case of the mother-in-law? You could have a case where the man was married to Dina. Dina went overseas. He heard that she was dead, so he went and married her mother, Leah. And later on, Dina shows up. You have the same problem over here. You have the same issue as in our Mishnah. He's still mutter to remain married to Dina, but if Dina dies, then he is allowed to marry Leah, and the children will be mamzerim depending when they were born, etc. The same issue that you have with her sister, according to this explanation, according to Rava's understanding of Rabbi Akiva, you have with a mother-in-law, with her mother. Amalei. So Rav Ashi asks that to Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana answers, you're wrong. You're thinking that Rabbi Akiva means it's mutter to marry the mother-in-law. No, nehi de miyata krami sreifa. Yes, according to Rava's understanding, the pasuk is memayet that she's not chayiv sreifa because there's no eshen. There's no two women here who you were married to who are alive. Only one of them is alive because Dina died. Meisurim miyata kra. The pasuk didn't ask her. The pasuk wasn't memayet the isur. Aser, she's still aser. The Jew is not chayiv misa for it. What kind of issue is it, by the way? Rashi has an explanation in Sanhedrin over there that it means, according that when we say that she's only osir, means it's not even an issue. It's not even an issue karis anymore. It's only a lav. Because the pasuk says oru shoychev im chesantoi, cursed in the brachos kolos in Parshas Kisava. It says oru shoychev im chesantoi, cursed to the man who has relations with his mother-in-law. So according to Rashi, at that point, once the daughter is dead, according to Rabbi Akiva, all that there is left is the oru. Tosfos argues on that over there, and Tosfos says that no, it still is an Issur Karis, just not an Issur Sreifa. Anyway, the point is she's still officer one way or the other, so therefore our Mishnah can't mention it. Because Yitaka don't have, even if the daughter died, there's no way that he would be allowed to marry her mother. It's just that if he does, he's not chayv, they're not chayv mitzvah. Okay, next, the question is, why indeed do we not say that the original wife is aser because he had relations with her sister? Shouldn't it be parallel to the case of the beginning of the parak where the husband went overseas and the woman saw that her husband, that he's dead and married somebody else, and we say that she becomes aser to both of them? By the same token, why don't we aser this husband to his original wife? He's aser to the sister. Why isn't he aser to the original wife as well? The answer is, it's not the same thing. Because in the case of a woman, in the case of the wife at the beginning of the parak, if she was mezana while she's married, then on a deraisa level, she'd be also to her husband. Therefore, b'shogeg gozer b'rabbanan. So even though it was only b'shogeg over here, because she thought he was dead, nevertheless, we say that the rabbanan made a gzera and offered her to her husband. But achoyz isha to b'meizid lo yasidim midaraisa. But when it comes to achoyz isha, even if you b'meizid have relations with your wife's sister, that does not aser your wife to you. As the Gemara is going to bring a pasuk in a minute. Therefore, b'shogeg like gozer b'rabbanan. So in the case of a hero of our Mishnah, where the whole thing was only shogeg because you thought your wife was dead, then the rabbanan didn't make a gzera to aser your wife to you either, or to aser the sister for that matter. We said the sister is going to be mutter after the wife dies. How taka do we know that the wife does not become aser from being mezana even on purpose with her sister? The Tanya, because it says in Braisa. Well, the pasuk says oisa. B'shochav ish oisa shichvasera. By soiter, it talks about over there. And that means, the word oisa means oisa shivasa esarta. Only the woman herself, somebody else having relations with her makes her aser. Then shivas achoisa esarta. But having relations with her sister does not pass on her to her husband. We don't say, in other words, that because Avraham was mezana with Rachel, therefore Leah, his original wife, is also to him. We don't say that. That's just the Oysa's remind. Why do we need the pasuk to tell us that? Shiyachovalo dinu. Because we might have thought to make a kavachomer. Umab lakav shabal isu kal meser. In a case where somebody has relations with an isu kal, and it becomes and neser her oiser, the one who originally made her oiser to other people becomes also in her herself. Now, what does that mean exactly? The Gemara is going to talk about later on. We're going to get back to it later. But what the Gemara is going to end, the Gemara is going to go through a few possibilities, what the Issur Kal is over here. But the Gemara, in the end, what the Gemara is going to explain is that the Issur Kal is actually talking about Eishes Ish. Now, Eishes Ish is not an Issur Kal at all. It's actually an Issur Chomer. But we call it an Issur Kal because it is possible to break it up by giving her a get. Then she's not also to anybody else anymore. So, Mab makam shabal isu kal neser ha'iser. So if you have a case where somebody has relations with an isu kal, namely with an ishes ish, neser ha'iser, so the one who made her also to everybody else, namely her husband, now becomes also in her as well. Then makam shabal isu chamer, then in a case of a chayz ishtoi, where it's a more stronger isu, because the isu exists as long as the wife is alive, in addition, that's her iser. How much more so you would think that his wife, who is the one who causes the iser to happen in the first place, should be iser. That's why we need the pasuk iser to tell us that not. The original wife stays mutter. Because otherwise we would have thought, based on this kavachomer, that since the fact that you were married to this wife, the fact that you were married to Leah to begin with, is what makes Rachel also to you. So you would have thought then that in that case, so you would think in that case then that having relations with Rachel should pass a layer, similar to the way it works with Eishes Ish. That's the Chiddush. That's why the pasuk tells us, Oysa, that no. That Kavachomer doesn't work. So the Gemara will go through later on what exactly we mean by this Kavachomer, further down on the Amud, but first the Gemara goes off on a tangent a little bit. Amr of Yehuda, Lenachlaku Beit Shammai Besilo B'bach HaMoitzah Shepoitzah L'Shishtoi. Beit Shammai and Besilo did not argue about the case where a man has relations with his mother-in-law, that it apostles his wife, as the Gemara is going to explain later on, because we have the Pasuk, Be'esh Jisuf for Oisev Eshen. Al-Nachlaku B'bach HaMoitzah Shishtoi. There is a machlokas with Shammai Besilo about this topic. If somebody has relations with his wife's sister, does his wife become also to him? Shabbat Shammai and Postal, but Salem like Postal. Shammai says it does pass her, which would be not like our Mishnah, obviously. And Bissolo says it does not. So according to Bishama, yes, if Avraham goes and is Mizana with Rachel, then Leah, his original wife, will be also to him. But Bissolo says no. But a mother-in-law, even Bissolo would agree that, yes. And then we'll bring later a pasuk to show why. Amr Abayisi, no, the other way around. No, Rabbi Yossi says it's the other way around. The machlok, everybody agrees if he has relations with his wife's sister, that it does not passel his wife, because there's nothing in the pasuk that says that if we have the pasuk Oisa that we said before, that Oisa that only she becomes passel, not by having relations with her sister. Not the original wife doesn't become passel through her sister. Is about the mother-in-law. That's where Bishamai holds that the wife becomes pasul because he had relations with the mother-in-law, and Bishamai says that not. What's the deal? Because let's look at the scenario. Originally, before he was Mekadosh, his wife, he was allowed to marry any woman in the world. And she was allowed to marry any man in the world. Pitcher, then he's Mekadosher, who Oisra, he makes her Oser to anybody else in the world, v'hi Asartoi, and she makes him Oser to any of her relatives. But the scope of the Isurim is different. Meruba Isur Sha'osram Isur Sha'asartahu, the scope of the Isur that he Osers her by being Mekadosher is greater than the scope that she makes him Oser in. He makes her Oser to everybody else, to any other man in the world. He only becomes Oser in her relatives because he's allowed to have two wives. And so therefore you would think, going back to the Kavach HaYomer we said before, if the case where he Osers her to any other man in the world, and Shagagav Isula Einu Neseres B'motala, and if she mistakenly goes and has relations with somebody who she's also to, so if she mistakenly, b'shogeg or b'onus or whatever, has relations with another man, she does not become also to her husband, to her original husband. So she, who l'chatchila, when she married him, he only became also in her relatives, shogeg b'asula enedin shalai nasalai b'mutalai. How much more so then that he should not become Osir in the one who he was originally Mutter in? If he Beshegig had relations with her sister or her mother or what have you, why should it possible her? The same way as she doesn't become Osir to him by having relations with Beshegig with any other man in the world. So he has even less of an Isser than she does, because he would be allowed to marry another woman, just not her relative. So that's Basil's logic. That's Rabbi Yossi's understanding of Basilo, why we say that any relative of hers does not, that him having relations with any relative of hers does not possible her. Does not make her also to him. The Zadin, L'Shoigig. Okay, so far that tells us about Shoigig, that Kavachoma works. L'Mezid Minayin, how do we know about Mezid also? Tamalayim, the Pasuk that we said before, Oisa, Oisa Shrivasa Isakta, Ben Shrivasa Choisa Isakta. Same idea, that only somebody else having relations with her makes her also, but not somebody, or even her own husband, having relations with a relative, with her sister. And the Pasuk doesn't spell out a sister, so it can mean any relative. That's what Rabbi Yossi is saying. That's why Basilo holds that no him having relations with any relative of hers is not going to pass on her, whether a sister or a mother. Amar Abami, Amar Shlakish, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so Rabbi Yossi, we understand based on that. What's Rabbi Yehuda's reason? Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that Basilo agrees that the mother that having relations with the mother makes the daughter usher? And according to Bishama, even the sister. Because the Pasuk says, the same Pasuk that we quoted before, the Pasuk says that if a man marries a mother, a woman and her mother, then we say you burn him and them, which we said before, we had the Machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, what the them means. And the question is, Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you mean? Do all of them get strefa? Obviously not. The first one that he married legally, why should she be chayv misa? So what we say is, since the pasuk obviously cannot mean that both of these women are chayiv misa, obviously that means both of these women are osur to the husband. So that's how we get that. The original wife and the mother. That's how Rabbi Yehuda gets it. Even Basil agrees that her man was married to Dina and then also had relations with her mother Leah, that Dina becomes also to him. That's what the Eshen means. Not that both of them are Chayiv Misa, Dina's not Chayiv Misa, but she becomes also to her husband because of her mother. So then he says that Oysa means specifically a Choysa. He says we have two different stuff. And one tells us Oysa and not a Choysa, when then we have this Eshen. So one refers to the sister, one refers to the mother. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Ein Halacha K'Rav Yehuda. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, which then in the machloek of the Shammah Basilo, the halacha is like Basilo. So therefore, neither Shchivas Achoisa nor Shchivas Ima makes the wife fossil. Yeah, because we learn both of them from Oisa, right? We ignore the Ba'esh Yisuf or Oisa Ba'esen because we doubt Shinet, like we said before, either according to Rishmol or according to Rabbi Akiva. Not like this is Russia that we just said now. The Gemara tells, Ahuda Abed Isura B'chamse, there was a man who did an Isur, meaning he had relations with his mother-in-law. The Vashas on purpose. Asked Rabbi Yehuda Nagde, so Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, brought him to Beis Din and had him eating Malkus.
An actual story?
Yeah.
Someone actually
did it with his mother-in-law, and so Rabbi Yehuda had him brought to Beis Din and whipped. Amalei, and he tells him, you should know something. He loved Amar Shmuel Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda. If it were not for the fact that Shmuel said the halacha is not that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, Asrita Halacha Yisura Da'olam, then actually, your wife herself would have been also to you forever. Because if the halacha had been like Rabbi Yehuda, then we would say Basilul agrees that because of Eshen, because of the issues before he said Eshen, that once you're Mizana with the mother-in-law, then the daughter also becomes Aser. You're lucky. He's telling him you're lucky. The halacha is not like that. Otherwise, your wife would be also to you as well.
Why would only Malkus?
Because this is long after the korban. There's no Mrs. Basin. There's no Basin smoking. I mean, even Malkus. This is more Makas Malkus. This isn't even there was a Basin smoking at that. Rabbi Yehuda didn't have a Basin of smoking to be able to give Malkus Minatur. This is like Makas Malkus Midrabana for doing such a thing. No, of course, Minatorah there'd be Chiv Misa. But since already Dalad Mrs. Basin had been bottled a few hundred years before this, then all you could do was give him Malkus.
There's probably no witnesses over here warning him all that.
No, there must have been witnesses of some kind, otherwise, how would he know?
Yeah. Our people saw, yeah.
Makas Maudus means Malkus at the discretion of Beis Din. Means the Beis Din can decide how much the guy needs to be whipped.
Regular Malkus
is there's a limit 39, and you have to check whether the guy is healthy enough to survive it. And so forth. Makas Maudus is basically at the discretion of Beis Din. However much they feel he needs in order to be punished for what he did. I guess we'll stop over here because it's time for Ma'ariv, and the Gemara will continue tomorrow explaining that Kavachomer we brought before, that Issu Kal versus Issu Chomer. We're going to go through the details of what exactly is an Issu Kal and what exactly is an Issu Chomer.